May be seated. This morning our Old Testament reading is coming to us from the book of Isaiah chapter 9 verses 6 and 7. Now as we prepare our hearts and minds, may they be open to receiving the word of God this morning. A child is born to us, a son is given to us, and authority will be on his shoulders. He will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be vast authority and endless peace for David's throne and for his kingdom, establishing and sustaining it with justice and righteousness, now and forever. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Can I hear it?
Amen.
So I'm pretty sure that every family has some version of family folklore. Am I right? So some stories that have been passed down over and over again. Some of you are thinking, I can think of a story or two. Well, for my family, one of the classic family stories that always gets told this time of year has to do with my Uncle Bill. This is my dad's brother. Apparently, when they were in high school, their church had a tradition of a live nativity scene. So one year, my Uncle Bill was serving as one of the shepherds in the live nativity scene, and there was another character, one of the wise men, who was, wearing that bathrobe and probably like a Burger King cardboard crown, representing the wise men. And all of a sudden, that wise man pulled out cigarette and lit it up and started smoking in the slide and say, "Look, my Uncle Bill looked at him and thought, oh, that's not appropriate." And so he said, "You put that out. You can't do that." And the wise man looked back at my uncle and said, "You can't make me." So my Uncle Bill said, "Well, yeah, I can," and proceeded to tackle the wise man. What ensued was a rolling on the ground in this live nativity, all while the cars are driving by looking for this lovely, peaceful nativity scene. Peace on earth and goodwill to all, right? I've really been into watching the Great British Baking Show. It's currently on Netflix. Maybe some of you have seen it. It's one of those kind of semi-reality TV shows where there are contestants who are given a baking challenge, and then there's a clock that starts ticking for them to finish whatever that baking challenge is. They're always complex, and usually I don't understand half the ingredients that they're going to use in their creations, or even what the instruction is of what they're supposed to be making. It's always complex, but at the end, they go through this process and they make these really beautiful, apparently very good, edible works of art. There was a recent episode that I was watching where the challenge they were given was multi-layered. And I mean this both literally and figuratively. They had to create their best and their favorite dessert, which they could choose what they wanted to make. But then they had to encapsulate this dessert in a chocolate sphere. And at the time of the reveal, they also were supposed to make this sauce that they would pour on top of the chocolate sphere that was supposed to melt away the chocolate, revealing inside the creation that they had made. All the while, all the flavors that they chose had to work together because it had to taste good. That was part of the challenge as well. So this chocolate sphere that they created, it couldn't be so thin that it would fall apart as they were trying to assemble this challenge. But it also couldn't be so thick that when they poured the sauce over, the chocolate wouldn't melt away. No one ever got to see their creation. It's pretty complex, right? I got nervous just feeling for them. These baking challenges are exactly that. They are meant to challenge these incredible, talented bakers. And they do this primarily creating difficult conditions under which these bakers must function and operate. They are still asked to do their best, even when they don't have the benefit of time or making a second recipe or doing a ton of research beforehand or the benefit of calling their mamas when they need a little bit of help, which is what I usually tend to do when I'm cooking and baking. Conditions affect the outcomes when it comes to baking. Preheating the oven makes a difference. Opening the oven before the yeast or whatever has the time to rise can cause the cake to deflate and not be plump and nice. Making sure you have the right amount of ingredients. Making sure that you include all the ingredients that you have prepared. Following the steps, the conditions affect and impact the result. As we look around at our real world, not reality TV world, but our lives and what's going on in the world around us, it often seems to me that the conditions are not ideal for peace. Peace is one of those things that I think sounds really, really nice, and we want it, we long for it, but in reality, we can't even really conceive of what it might look like in certain situations. We don't understand how peace is even possible at times. Certainly, we don't know what it looks like sometimes. And yet, in this season of Advent, we understand that one of the gifts that Jesus gives to us, that Jesus brings to us, is that of peace. In addition to our Isaiah text that I read just a moment ago, there are so many places, especially in the Old Testament, as people are dreaming and thinking of what the Messiah will be and bring into the world, where people are imagining what life would look like with a sense of peace. We hear about it because we see their longing. We even see prophesying about what this Messiah is going to come and usher in and bring in. And yet, in the midst of that, I really do think that many of these folks from the Old Testament were also longing for their own lives to be different and to look different. They wanted this peace not just for the things in their world that they saw, but they also wanted it for themselves. Here's a couple of other pieces of our Old Testament readings, some of them from Isaiah, making proclamations about who this Messiah will bring be. Isaiah 52 says, "He will be the messenger of peace, that there will be no hunger or illness. Evil and tyranny will not be able to stand before his leadership." Isaiah 2 paints this big picture of what it would look like for the whole world to worship in unity. How peaceful does that sound? In Ezekiel, there's a note about that weapons of war will be destroyed. They won't be needed. Peace is something